We're in the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, and one that already filled out. No, because I have my notes are different, brother, and I'm going to do this unnoted today. I'm usually a... You'll keep me straight, won't you? Genesis, the 28th chapter. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 1. By the way, my wife brought all kinds of goodies back there if you want some of those goodies. When she married me, she married a flop because I don't eat the things she eats. And for a long time, she just had a fit because I wouldn't eat all these goodies. And she'd just cry and all that stuff. And I said, well, just bring them all to the class and they can be your victim. So anyway, she gets to cook goodies, and you guys get to eat goodies, and they're good. I just can't eat them. She loves to cook lots of Danish stuff because she's half Danish, and I don't eat any of that stuff at all. So she gets to practice on you, and then I get to go by, get the slide. So we both have fun. She gets to cook, and you guys get to eat. Genesis 28th chapter. Genesis chapter 28. Now, we covered a little bit of this before, but let's go back and look at it again, because you need to be reminded of some of this, because some of it is glorious. We're talking about Isaac and Jacob. Reluctantly, Isaac passed on the blessing and the heirship of basically the Abrahamic promise to Jacob, and he didn't want to. All right? Because he wanted to give it to whom? Esau. Now, in my notes at home, which I still see, on that page over there, it gives Esau's descendants. And in Esau's descendants were the Edomites and the Idumeans. Now, when Jesus came to the land of Israel, to the nation of Israel, when he was born into that land, who was the promised son? Was it Esau or Jacob? Who was the promised son? Jacob. Okay, who was the rat that was on the throne of Israel?
Herod,
which was a...
Edomian.
Yeah. Edomian. Can't even say it today. Idumean. All right? That's who was on the throne. The wrong guy. And just think how corrupt Israel was at that time. Israel was so corrupt that they allowed that. They knew better, didn't they? But Herod gave them what they wanted. Herod basically, in some ways, was the type of the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist is going to build them a temple. They're looking for the Messiah to build the temple today, their new king, and he will do it.
You know, when we were on our trip to Israel, the lady that was our guide said, well, how come the Jews did these things for Herod? He says he paid them and they were happy.
That's right. Payoff. Payola.
Yeah, well,
does that sound a little bit like America today? Graft. Yeah. Corruption.
It may have been a legitimate job, but just as a job, and they were building stuff,
yeah.
And that was happening.
Well, he wasn't supposed to be on the throne. Now, let's go back. Sometimes God has allowed many things in this world, hasn't he? That's what we call his permissive will. It's not his direct will. We know that. But God permits everything. One guy said, I don't believe in God at all because of all the disease and all the storms and everything that's going on in the world today. And I said, then don't blame it on God. Who's the God of this world at this time, at this age, at this period of time? Satan. He's the author of all of this. You want to see the author of what God's going to do, go to the millennium. This is when God has it under control right over here. Even the animals are going to get along. And we won't be putting them in our belly either. They will get along with us fine. Genesis 28 and verse 1. Let's start off with that. Brother David, are you there?
Yes.
Genesis 28 and verse 1. You got one of them contaminated translations there? What is that?
Yes, sir.
All right. You Episcopalian?
And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan.
All right. Hold on right there. Just hold on right there. Now, we studied a little bit about this last week. Now, I want you to understand that Esau knew all of his wrongs. You know that? Esau knew that he had done wrong. If you go back up in the 27th chapter, we find out that Rebekah was having cat fits. You know what a cat fit is? That's when you get more than one woman in a room. And cat fits. She was having cat fits with the Canaanite girls. All right? She didn't like them. She said, I just want to die. Now, do you think Esau knew this? Sure he did. Sure he knew it. All right, but what did he do about it? He just made things worse.
Probably called her a racist.
Well, we're going to find out on down a little bit further. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, don't take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Now let's go in verse 2 and see what's going on over there. Verse 2, are you over there, Brother Floyd?
Yes.
All right.
Arise, go to Paddan Aram. Did I pronounce that right?
That's fine.
To the house of Ethuel, your mother's father, and take his wife from there, one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother.
All right. So go over there and see your grandfather, basically, and take one of your Uncle Laban's girls, your cousins, to marry. He told them to go back and do it. Now, they'd already been back over. Had they run into Laban before? Laban is a very famous Jewish character, I think you call him, in the Old Testament history. This is where they got some of their traits of being finaglers. Finaglers. Laban? I don't remember. I don't believe it's the same name. Laban, your mother's brother. All right, number 3. Now, here's where we studied last week. This is a very beautiful prophetic verse. Brother Randall, are you there? All right, now let's look at this verse again. Now, do you remember how many of you, this is the test this week. Now, do you remember what we said about this verse last week? Huh? All right. Here we have El Shaddai. We have the all-nourishing God. We have the God that's going to take care of you. Now, we know that Isaac told Jacob, he said, I know that God's going to take care of you. Now, Jacob hadn't got convinced yet. Did you know that? Jacob wasn't really convinced totally, and we're going to find that later on. He said, El Shaddai is going to bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and you'll become a company of peoples. And the word there is kahal. Remember? Kahal. Kahal is the Hebrew word. What is the Greek word? Ekklesia. All right, an assembly of people. Now, it looked forward to Israel being in Egypt. There was a company of people there. There was a company or assembly of Israel at Mount Sinai when they received the law. And looking even further on ahead, one of these days, the first members of the Lord's church here were all what? Basically, were all Jewish. And they were the ecclesia, the ones called out also. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
He didn't mean that, like, when he finds his wife,
He's going to have a lot of people in his family. He's going to have a great multitude of people. But, prophetically looking, the Hebrew words tell us more than what it says in English. All right? The Hebrew words tell us that down in Egypt there was a great assembly of people that came out of Egypt. And that great assembly of people stood before Mount Sinai and received. God bless that assembly of people in Egypt because of what? Why?
Abraham.
The Abrahamic promise. That promise is indelible. That promise is permanent. That promise is like your salvation. When you're saved by grace. All right? And God permanently does that job. When God promised Abraham that he would bless him and these people, Israel as a nation, there were sometimes, as Israel, there were some what we call conditional covenants. But this one is not one of them. This is going to happen. And this is prophetic. It said they will become a great assembly. And God took that assembly out of Egypt. He talked to that assembly in the wilderness of Sinai. And He fed and watered that assembly through all of the wilderness journey. And then He took that assembly into the land of Canaan later on. And they spread out there. And then, of course, in the future, also, this would be His ones called out during His ministry when He would call them out. All right? Now, let's go on a little bit further in verse number 4. And let's see the story, the rest of the story. Brother Mike, are you there?
May He also give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you.
All right. Hold on now. He's what is He doing here now? The blessing of Abraham. He says, you are the heir. That's what He's saying. You are the heir. Now you're going and you're going to leave this land. Now God promised you this land, but you're going to leave this land. And did He have any descendants yet? Did Jacob have any descendants yet? Did he even have a wife? No. He didn't even have a wife yet. He's going to have a wife. He said, a blessing, Abraham, to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your wanderings, which God gave to Abraham. Now, first of all, he's going to go and he's going to stay back over there, basically in Mesopotamia area, for quite a few years. But the promise that Isaac gave him is that you're going to possess this land someday. Remember that. Now, this was quite a story. How many of you have children? All right, you have children. Oh, okay, just according to what day of the week it is or how they're acting. All right. Okay. Well, we have children. Now, if you told your child, my wife had an uncle that was a character. Uncle Bud. And I knew him, and my father knew him many, many years ago, but he was a jokester. And he told his children that he had how much money for every one of those boys and girls? How much? $100,000 apiece for them. He didn't have any $100,000. But he told that one of them went out there and bore his dad. He died. He bought him a brand new truck. And when he died, there was no $100,000, and he had a walleye Calypso fit. No money. But now, every one of these children here, they died without receiving that promise. I want you to understand. They died without receiving that promise. Never had it. But they believed that sometime in the future that God would give it to them. Do they have it today? Do the descendants have that today? Just a little bitty piece of it. They don't have the promised land.
They believe it more today than they did then.
Yeah. They have a little piece of it. There for a long time, they weren't even in the land. They weren't even in the land. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this promise of Abraham's promise. We have a promise too, don't we? Now, it's not realized yet. But God promised us a city whose builder and maker is whom? God. And the streets are like what? Gold. And the foundations of that city are what? Jewels. Precious jewels. Precious jewels. Precious jewels. And the gates are made out of what? Pearls. That's where we get the pearly gates. All right? Made out of pearls. That's beautiful. But that's a promise. Will you ever get that promise in this world? No. That's something you have to have faith in, that God is going to give it to you. All right? Now, of all things about the nation of Israel, I don't care how ungodly they are and godless, the biggest part of them today basically are Sadducees. You know what the Sadducees is? One of my students a long time called them the Sadducees. They didn't believe anything spiritual. They were basically agnostics. That's what they were, the Sadducees. They were agnostics. Then you had the extremists. That's the left-wing guys way over there. And then the right-wing guys were who? The Pharisees. They were the super-orthodox bunch. And then you had the Pharisees of the Pharisees. All right? So you had the left and the right wing back then.
And you had the lawyers. That's right.
Yeah, you had the lawyers. Boy, are we plagued with lawyers today? They bleed the whole, between the lawyers and the oil companies, they bleed the whole nation dry, don't they? Today. I don't know what they had any of them back then. Maybe the olive tree merchants they had back then. That was their oil of the day. Make your great pump company of people and give you the blessing of Abraham. We have that promise ahead of us. They look for the promise ahead, and yet today, even though most of them don't even believe in an angel. Did you know that? How many of you believe in angels? Anybody here believe in angels?
By faith.
Listen, brother, I know I've got them around me because I kept them busy. In my life, I've kept those angels busy. It's a wonder that this world hadn't killed me as things I've been through. If it wasn't for those angels, I don't know who they are by name, but I know that they're there just as real as that wall is back there. Angels are real, but a Sadducee don't even believe in an angel. Do you know that? They don't even believe in a God that created anything. It's just kind of flopped. Like the evolutionists today. Just flopped out there and kind of crawled out of the muck.
That's why they're sad, you see.
Yeah, brother.
So what do they hold on to then? As far as like how we hold on to faith, what do they hold on to then? As far as to make them...
They think that they can be an example of justice and truth in the world.
That's like empty,
though. Huh?
That's empty, though.
Yeah, but it's empty. Yeah. But they think that they can be an example of right and wrong and truth and whatever, and there will be justice for all under their ideals. Okay? And if you go over to the Knesset in Israel, how many of you have been? Some of you have been there, I know. And you look at the order over there, and you look at what they try to do. Now, this is mainstream Israel, and mainstream Israel is not so religious. Now, we have the Orthodox Jews also. Now, they're looking for the Messiah to come. Well, they missed the boat, people. They missed it. He's already been here. He's already been here. Okay? Well, you go over there in their court system, and if you get in trouble, or if you have any trouble with your neighbor, you know what they do? You go down here on Chester Avenue and Truxton down here, and you go into a court system down there, and you're going to have a judge, and you may not want, he may be any nationality or whatever, but if you go over there, if you go before a judge, he's going to be of your own race. If you're a certain tribe, of Arab tribe, all of the juries are going to be from that tribe, and you're going to have a judge from that group. And they're going to try to give you justice from your own peers, okay? It's what they're going to try to do. And they think that that's right. And in all reality, is it right? If you're going to be tried by somebody, wouldn't you like to be tried by people of your kind? All right, now that's the type of justice, and they say, well, this is what we can give to the world. That's good, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with that. But is that what we need? Is that what kept the promise alive? The what kept the promise alive was something invisible, but yet was tangible. They believed one day that they'd have it. Number four, let's read it over again, Brother Mike.
May he also give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings which God gave to Abraham.
Okay, sojournings means your wanderings. John Wayne used the term pilgrim. Pilgrim. He were pilgrims in the land. They were wanderers in the land. They were vagrants in the land. The song, Waltzing Matilda, that's an Australian song. Do you know what Waltzing Matilda is? It was their knapsack. They were vagrants. They were wanderers. They were pilgrims. They were hobos in the land. And to them over there, being a hobo was a great looked upon occupation. They were remember Crocodile Dundee in all those movies? Crocodile Dundee was always going on a walkabout. He was carrying his Matilda with him, waltzing Matilda going out through there. That's what it was all about. These are pilgrims. All right? They don't have any permanent place, but God's going to give you a permanent place one of these days. And as we look in our lives, when we leave this world, God has got a beautiful city prepared for us. Your Jehovah Witness brethren, they always look about going into the kingdom. They want to be in the kingdom. I don't want to be part of that kingdom. Do you? What do you have to do to become part of that kingdom? What are you going to have to go through? Huh?
The tribulation.
We're going to have to go through the tribulation period to get over here. There is going to be 144,000 Jews at least that are going to go into the millennial reign in the kingdom, what we call the kingdom reign. And there's going to be 1/6 of the Gentile nations that are going to go there in their bodies. But none of this really secures salvation, does it? Especially not among the Gentiles. Israel's going to be all born again in the day, but it doesn't say much about those Gentiles. But those Gentiles are going to be made to serve the Lord and go to the different feasts during that period of time.
Both of those honorary Gentiles are going to going to die.
In the end. They're going to multiply.
Well, actually, in the tribulation,
well, yeah, 5/6 of them are going to die.
Billions of them will
yeah.
die.
Now, 5/6 of the world population of Gentiles, and that's everybody besides the Jews, is going to die before they get there. Only 1/6 is going to go in there, and then they're going to be held under the thumb. Now we're going to have a real theocracy on this earth during that period of time. Now, I want to be up there with the Lord in that good city with the golden streets and the precious pearls, gates, and the precious gem foundations of it. But really the foundation of that city is Jesus Christ, isn't it? He's the chief cornerstone. And I've heard a lot of people talk about the sea of glass. The sea of glass. Haven't you heard of the sea of glass? Where the throne of God stands on?
Revelation.
Yeah, the sea of glass. You know what that sea of glass is?
Well, it's sort of like a diamond, I guess.
It's just one big, gigantic diamond, polished diamond floor that reflects the glory of God. Diamonds, beautiful diamonds, good diamonds, reflect light, don't they? And that's exactly what that diamond sea, that crystal sea, that diamond floor is going to do is reflect the glory of God. Yes, Enoch, the book of Enoch, refers to that. I still am sneezing and putting up with that 100-mile-an-hour wind yesterday and dust. It was brown outside my house yesterday. Number five. Brother Randall, are you there? Genesis
12. Then Isaac sent Jacob away. To Laban, the son of son of Bethuel, the Arminian.
The Syrian?
The mother of Jacob and Esau.
All right. The mother of Jacob and Esau. Now, so there he goes over there to Laban. So. Yes.
Did he say my Bible says Syrian?
Syrian. What does your Bible say there, Randall?
The son of Bethuel, the Arminian.
The what? Aramean? Okay. Well, Syrian are Assyrian. Syrians are also Assyrians. Okay, that's that area. That's where Damascus is and that area. That's what we're talking about. All right. The brother Rebekah and the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now, number six. Let's look at that. Brother, Sister Kathy, are you there? Okay. Now, just look at this. Now, do you think that Esau knew what was going on? Remember, we talked about that a while ago. How many times do you have to know the truth to adhere to it? Esau, no matter what, he was going to go the wrong way. Wasn't he? No matter what. He saw his brother. He saw his brother. This is the one that he doesn't like. Because his brother, his name, what does Jacob mean? Trickster. All right? Somebody trip you up. He was a trickster. Well, he knew that his brother was a trickster, but he also knew that he was his brother, not he, was obeying his family's orders and his blessings. To get the blessing, what did you have to do? Do you think Esau could marry a Hittite and receive the blessing of God? He wanted to, didn't he? Did Isaac even want to give it to him when he was married to these Hittites? When the gene pool was all messed up in his family, but he was still going to go that way? And finally, when God overruled it and got the right man there, then that boy obeys. Why did Jacob obey? Because he wanted the promises. That's the truth. He did it because he wanted something. Now, he's not totally convinced that God can do it for him yet. Did you know that? Jacob is not convinced that God can bring about this yet. Think about that for a while. Now let's go see what he says. See where we can dig that up. All right. So, what do you think Esau does? He goes and marries him some more wild women. Not one person in the world that's ever lived will ever go to hell because God sent you there. You know that? God has provided for the salvation of every mankind that's ever lived. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy will be done. Now, in this world, we can either come to God's, if we want God's blessing, we're going to have to go by the way of the cross. That's it. But in the end, when we face God, if we face God without the blood of Jesus Christ, God will say to them, "Thy will be done. Your will be done. Because you have chosen." Esau chose the wrong way every time. Now, as in this world today, God's not going to make you do anything. Not going to make you do it. You're not a robot. God's not going to make you do anything. But if we serve the Lord today, it's because, well, we do have an unction from the Holy Spirit to guide us that way. If you're a child of God, when you do something wrong, do you know it? God just kind of does that. Brother Wally.
There's that verse in Hebrews. That says, if we sin willfully after faith, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin.
Yeah. Well, the book of Hebrews, and by the way, we're going to do the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night pretty soon from Greek. There are some beautiful teachings in the book of Hebrews. Some beautiful teachings. Some of our sins are hamartiogenic, called illness, and hamartiogenic calls death. And what does that mean? Huh? Huh? No, well, no. Hamartiogenic called illness and hamartiogenic called death. In 1 Corinthians, it said, Paul told that church there, because they were disobeying God, some of them were sick. And some of them got killed. And I'm not saying that all sickness is caused in a child of God because of sin in your life. It's not. We, when we're born in this world, we're born to die, people. But sometimes when we go the wrong way, belligerently, God cuts us off because He won't allow us or make His Spirit live in a person's body that is going the wrong direction all the time. Now, Esau was a man that was after his own appetite. His God was in his belly.
Yeah, but he knew he willfully rejected it, and there was no sacrifice on it, even though it was provided.
That's right. Because he would not will. He did not will. He did not want to. All right? And so let's go on down here a little bit further. Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. And now let's see what number 8 says. Number 8. Who's got that? Number 8. Genesis 28 and verse 8. Are you there, Brother Rex? Are you open? Okay.
Also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please the father Isaac.
All right. Yep, go right on now, brother.
Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nabal, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had.
All right, now let's look at this situation. Boy. What rebellion. Now, what happened with Ishmael? Huh? What happened to Ishmael? Let's go on. What happened with Ishmael in Abraham's life? Abraham had two sons. He had what? Who was his first son?
Ishmael.
And that was a child of the flesh, wasn't it? Child of the flesh. Let's look back at the story. God had promised Abraham that he was going to become a mighty nation. And that he had promised him. And who was his wife? Abraham's wife. Sarah. So where would you expect the seed to come from? Sarah. Now she was old, all right. So was he. But God promised him. Now did Abraham believe God totally at that time? And they got pretty old. And just look at the mindset of these two old codgers. All right? They're sitting around there, and Abraham says, well, you know, God promised us a mighty nation would come out of my loins. And Sarah jumps up and says, well, you know what? I've got a young girl over here named Hagar. She's an Egyptian. And I know that that girl can bring forth a child, and if you go into her and marry her, since she's my slave, that child's going to be mine. So you go into her, and you bring forth seed from her, a child from her, and we'll have a son. That'll be there. But is that what God told him? I think Esau kind of took after Abraham in some ways. Sometimes your children take after your bad traits, don't they? That's hard to say, but it is. Sometimes your children take after your downfalls. Two times in Abraham's life he tried to sell Sarah to save his own neck. Now, if this was the promised woman, that was a pretty stupid thing to do, because through her, the nation of Israel was going to be brought about. But he did twice. All right? Let's go back and look at this one more time. He takes Ishmael's descendants. Now, was Ishmael, did God make known plainly to Abraham's family that Ishmael was not the promised line? It was plain. So where did he go?
Ishmael's family.
Now, he was the son that was supposed to be the heir. He threw the heirship away because he absolutely flagrantly looked at the promises of God with disgust. That's exactly what he did.
The old devil don't miss a trick.
No, and he never misses a lick, does he? Every time the devil provides for his, doesn't he? So here the children come. Now he goes out, he marries a Hittite, now he's going to marry another woman from the non-promised line. And also, as we think, you said the devil never misses a trick. Go to the New Testament times. Who was supposed to be on the throne of Israel?
Joseph.
Joseph. Of the lineage of whom? David. Did the devil miss a trick when he put Herod on the throne? Yeah. Now, is the devil busy today? About 35 years ago or 30 years ago, I preached a sermon, "The Devil is Alive and Well." And you can tell it every day. We can know that the devil is tangible and real because of what he does in the world. He's always busy. Always busy. You know, the Lord called out his churches and the devil founded hundreds of them. Almost like his, but not quite. Almost like his, but not quite. And Esau went to Ishmael and married, besides wives, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. Number 10. Let's go on. Brother Mike.
And went toward Haran.
Okay, he went to Haran and go on in verse number 11 now.
And he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place.
All right, now here we have Jacob's pillow. Have you ever heard of Jacob's pillow or Jacob's pillar? All right. Have you heard of that? This is it. Now, if you go in some... I want to tell you this, just... As we go by, on the throne in England, they're supposed to have this stone under that throne. Did you know that? According to legend, is this stone right there? I doubt it very seriously. That's all I got to say. But that's one of the legends. Okay, and this is Jacob's pillow.
Something like romancing the stone.
Anyway, it's the stone underneath the throne, all right? Underneath the ancient throne was supposed to be Jacob's pillow, the stone that Jacob put his head on, okay? Now, let's go on and look at this. Now, he's going to have a dream. And he put this stone on his head, and he lay down in that place, and number 12, Brother David, number 12.
And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it.
All right. And Tony, are you right there also in number 13?
And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants.
All right. Now God is appearing to him. All right. Behold, the Lord stood above it. See if I can go over here in Hebrew and look at this. If I can find it in the right place. Verse number 13. All right. And behold, Jehovah. All right, Jehovah. Who is Jehovah? Who is Jehovah? The covenant God of the nation of Israel and of mankind. And all right. In all rights. Now, what does Jehovah mean? He who shall become. He who shall become. All right? And behold, Jehovah standing by him. Now, this is Jehovah. All right? And said by him, and said, I, Jehovah, the Elohi, the God belonging to Abraham, is what it means, the God belonging to Abraham. I'm the God belonging to Abraham, and by the way, Abraham belonged to God, too. All right? Your father and the God and the Elohi of Isaac and the land, the Haaretz, and the land upon which you're laying at this time, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed. And you will become like your seed will become like the dust of the earth and shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All right. Spread out north, south, east, and west. All right. Let's go on a little bit further now. I'm Jehovah. The land that you lay on, I'm going to give to you and to your seed. Number 14. And number 14, Tony.
Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
All right, what's it talking about there? In you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The Messiah, the promised Messiah. Genesis, it goes back to Genesis 3 and verse 15. All right? It also goes to the New Testament times. All the way to the New Testament time in the book of Galatians and the book of Romans. It repeats this over and over and over again. That in Abraham's seed, singular, will all the nations of the earth be blessed because he was going to be the Redeemer. And who is this Jehovah? Who spoke to him? Who spoke to Jacob here? Jehovah. All right. Go to John 1 and 1. You ought to be able to quote that one right now from Greek. NRK. Ein ho logos, huh? In beginning. Kept on being the who. The Word, but who was that Word? Jehovah. Jehovah. All right? Now, how would he bless all nations? And it says, and the Word kept on being toward, the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because he kept on being God. John 1:14 says, Kai hologos sarx aganito, and the Word, flesh, he became. And we dwelt, we saw him like Jacob saw God in his dream. He came to this earth to redeem us. He came to buy us back. Buy us back from what? The old slavery of the devil. How's the devil enslave us? With your sin. Your pet sins. That's how the devil enslaves you. All right. Number 15. Number 15. Go ahead there, Tony.
Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.
All right. Now, remember Isaac told him that El Shaddai was going to take care of him. What does El Shaddai? Remember what that means?
The one who nurses.
All right. El Shaddai means the Almighty God. El and Shaddai, the Almighty God. Okay. But it comes from the Hebrew word shad, which means breast, and that he's going to nourish him and take care of him and support him and keep him alive. Now here, Jacob is going into a land that he's never been before. He's never been there before. He's going into a place he don't even have a job. There's no welfare back then either to get on either, period. There's nothing, no support system at all for this man. His only support system is El Shaddai. And El Shaddai tells him, I'm going to take care of you. And verse number 16, right there, verse number 16. Tony, go ahead.
Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.
All right. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't even realize it. Number 17, Brother Wally.
And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
All right. Here's a beautiful name comes about here. What verse were you in, brother? Which one? Which one?
17.
And he was afraid and said, how awesome. How dreadful. How scary. That's what the term means. How frightening is this place? This is none other than the Bethel. That's what he said, Bethel. In Hebrew, he said Bethel. All right? The house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. This is the gate of heaven. Now, in Israel's time, yes, did you have a... Yeah, awesome, scary, frightening. That's the same word. All it means to be a scary place. I mean, this place is a holy ground, is what he meant. This is holy ground. Yeah. Now God's working on Jacob. Now, Jacob hadn't believed yet. He still isn't totally convinced. Now, Isaac told him, I'm going to take, the El Shaddai is going to take care of you. You go off in the land, you get your wife. He hadn't got there yet. And then God appears to him and confirms the promise of Abraham. That this is, that you are the one, Jacob.
But this place he's talking about may be akin to the mercy seat and the tabernacle?
Kind of, yes. Because Jehovah appeared to him, didn't he? It's like the burning bush experience of Moses later. Here we have Jehovah who appeared to Moses. Jehovah did. All right? And here we have Jehovah, the one who shall become. Now, that's Jesus, by the way. We have Jesus appearing to Jacob. And he tells him, I'm the one. I'm going to take care of you. Now, how did Jacob get the promise, the blessing? Was Jacob, now look at it from Jacob's point of view now, put on Jacob's shoes for a while, as the Indians used to say, put on his moccasins now and walk in his shoes for a while. Now look at he looks. How did Jacob get the promise? How did he get it? He tricked his brother. Now his brother was the firstborn. Now, do you think, since he's got the promise now, since he's legally got the promise, okay?
He's nervous that he might mess it up.
He's not quite sure when he spiritually got the promise. Well, he doesn't know whether God's going to honor this.
Well, he didn't wait on God to give it to him.
No. He didn't wait on God to give it to him, but God worked through his mother and through the goat soup and whatever he had. Yes.
But even though he tricked, okay, you're saying that he tricked Esau, right?
What?
Who's his brother was Esau. He tricked, right?
Yeah, he tricked Esau.
But really, even though he's supposed to be tricked Esau, Esau was like, I don't care anyway. I'm just going.
Yeah, Esau didn't care. But he wanted it. But right then, he was hungry, so nothing mattered. So he despised the promises of God and sold out his birthright for the cheapest commodity in the land of Israel. Right. Now, he did it all right, but Jacob, he got the physical birthright. He got it by legality. And Isaac still wasn't going to give it to him. And he had to trick him. But Jacob didn't know whether God was on the scene at that time or not. And whether he realized that, do I really have the birthright? Is this really mine? He wouldn't believe him yet, all the way. Okay?
When you put up that rock and pour oil on it,
now that's coming. God's working on Jacob. God's working on Jacob one step at a time. All right. Now God tells him, "You're the seed. You do have the promise, Jacob. You're the one. It's not Esau. It's not Ishmael. None of those have the promise, but you have the promise. You're going to be the one. All right." And he called the name of the place, the house of God, Bethel. Okay, that's where the name Bethel comes from. Bethel, Beth. How about Bethlehem? Bethlehem. All right, that means the house of bread. Beth, okay. The first and second letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Aleph. And the second one is Beth. All right. Aleph stands for head, like the head of the family, like the father. All right. And Beth stands for the whole. And the head of the whole is the father, and his name is Abba, by the way, in Hebrew. All right. So there we have it. Well, we're just about finished here. And he called the name of the place Bethel, the house of God. However, previously the name of the city was Luz. So we got that. Now, there's where we're going to quit, right there on verse 19 this week. Do you have any other questions before you go on? Did you learn something? All right. Did you get a little something? God's working on Jacob. He's trying to build his faith up and let Jacob realize that you are the promised son, and I'm going to take care of you no matter what happens. All right. Brother David, where are you? Thank you for your attention. Thank you for coming today.